Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's the key to discovering delectable dining? Find something that sizzles, a time-tested favorite, a feast for your eyes and palate, and a dining experience handled with care. In Vicksburg, the key to the South.
All right, welcome in, everybody, to the post-game edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you guys being here. After Ole Miss got exposed, quite frankly, today by Kentucky, and the idea, the concept of playoffs is not one that we're going to be talking about until things dramatically change for Ole Miss this season. Their first SEC game, Kentucky in Oxford, three-score favorite or two-score plus a half favorite, and they got completely exposed. Lane Kiffin and staff got totally out-coached. They got outplayed by Kentucky today. So that's what we are talking about on this edition of the Rebel Report. For those of you that are watching on Super Talk's YouTube channel, and you may not know that this is actually a podcast that airs a few times a week, check it out. Pull out your phone, your favorite podcast app, search Rebel Report, subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. Again, wherever you get your podcasts, just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. Hopefully this time I won't lose camera like we did last time on the Super Talks YouTube channel. So hopefully this works out. It looks strong at the moment, so hopefully that continues. We'll get into all of the post-game reaction after I tell you that this edition and every edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. We all know that in life, injuries happen sometimes. We hope it never happens to you. I hope the day never comes where you'll need DJ Gregory or the Gregory Law Firm, but that day could. And if it does, I don't want you to be left out in the cold or not knowing where to turn. Save this phone number, 662-397-9799. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today, the Gregory Law Firm, presenting the Rebel Report. He's in Saltillo, Mississippi, but he can service you anywhere for all of your personal injury, small business, or contract disputes. So for all of the post-game reactions, we start with what I call box score house cleaning. So just kind of telling you the stats of the game, and then we will get into some reaction. Jackson Dart's numbers are a little bit deceiving today. 18 of 27 for 261 and a touchdown was not particularly good today. Missed a handful of deep balls early in the game. Took a sack when he should not have. Held onto the ball a little bit too long today, but those were his numbers. Trey Harris, 176 yards receiving for him on 11 catches and a touchdown, but little doing for Ole Miss aside from that. Parrish had three catches for 18. Priestcorn had the one catch for 42 yards that at the moment could have saved the game. It did not. Caden Lee had a pair of catches. Juice Wells did not have one. Neither did Jordan Watkins. Henry Parrish ultimately had a pretty decent day on the ground. Only 13 carries, 4.8 per carry, but Jackson Dart, you know, sacks are mixed in here as well. 1.7 per carry. The Ole Miss defensive front six was actually good today. You had Walter Nolan had a good game. He had a tackle for a loss. You had a really nice game from Uman Mielen. Suntarian Perkins had a pair of sacks. I think Ole Miss's front six, front six, is the only thing that you can look at today and come away with it as a positive. Otherwise, it was a brutal day for Ole Miss. On the other side, Kentucky. Let me flip to the Kentucky stats here just for a second. Brock Vandegrift had his best day as a quarterback. 18 of 28 for 243 and a touchdown. Had that long of 63 to Berrien Brown, which completely flipped the script on that game and allowed Kentucky to score that touchdown. That was a fumble that was right away caught for a touchdown there that ultimately won the game for Kentucky. Key had 105 yards receiving for Kentucky on just eight catches and a touchdown. Brown had the 88, but 63 was the big one there. Kentucky ran the football for only 93 yards today and 2 yards per carry. Like I said, I think that was the lone bright spot for Ole Miss in this game was the front six and stopping the run, especially. Other than that, Ole Miss got completely and totally exposed today. That is the theme of the day. That's what we'll be talking about on the radio show without a doubt when Monday comes around. is the word fraud is going to be used, and it's already being used nationally, and it's totally justified. Ole Miss played a cakewalk schedule, and you know they looked really good doing it. They won 11 games last year. We talked about all this all offseason. They won 11 games a year ago and brought a lot of guys back and added pieces in the portal. But I think ultimately today, today was not a talent thing for Ole Miss. It was not a roster ability thing for Ole Miss. Quite frankly, I think what happened to Ole Miss today was they got outcoached. Kentucky forced Ole Miss to play their game, and it worked. And Ole Miss, I think, was – I don't know if too conservative is the right thing, but in the second half, they had some opportunities to blow the game open, and you had the Trey Harris fumble. He had a really good day, but the Trey Harris fumble really hurt. Settled for a field goal where they were moving the football really well. Had a couple of really poorly timed quarterback draw calls as well. It kind of felt like they were a little bit predictable there in the second half at times. But Kentucky forced Ole Miss to play their style and play their game. And Ole Miss could not get them out of that. And ultimately, they got beat and they got exposed. And now if you guys want to talk playoffs, I don't think that that's a conversation that we're going to have. I mean, it's not worth having right now. It's just, can they salvage things a little bit and try to fight their way back into at least being in that conversation? But the schedule gets more difficult. The tasks ahead of them are going to be more difficult. I know Kentucky only lost to Georgia by one, but you guys watched them play South Carolina as well. And most especially, the biggest issue for me for Ole Miss, well, there's two big issues. One is defensively. So the front six, I think, is really good. They played well today. The back end of Ole Miss's defense is bad. And not bad relative to like a team that can compete for like a championship. Again, we're not having that conversation right now. We're not going to do that because that's not what they are. Not at the moment anyway. But they're bad. I mean, how many times this game was Ole Miss able to force Kentucky into a third and long situation and Kentucky convert on whether it be a long pass or a penalty that gave them a first down? Let me see if I can actually pull this up here. Okay, so if I'm reading this correctly, Kentucky converted four first downs. Let's see. I think I can find a better... I should have had this like right in front of me. Forgive me for not being particularly smart, but if you guys listen to me long enough, you know already that that is the case. But anyway, Ole Miss's defense would force Kentucky into third downs, or you know, get they would win first down, or had to have a negative play or very short yardage. And if Ole Miss was not able to get to Brock Vandegrift, he was able to beat the Ole Miss secondary. They are bad there. They're not particularly good at tackling in the secondary at times. I think at times they played too soft a coverage, but there were penalties, blown coverages. At times they were there in the right spots and couldn't make the play. That is the biggest weakness on this Ole Miss team. If this Kentucky offense can throw for what they threw for today and the timing of it all, then what do you think LSU is going to do in Baton Rouge here in just a couple of weeks? That is Ole Miss's biggest weakness right now. It's not offensive line. It's not running back, even though that's an issue too. It is defensive secondary. It is really, really bad. And running back. So Henry Parrish had a nice day. He was effective, but when he got banged up, you can't tell me on short yardage situations where you need a yard or 2 yards that, I mean, maybe this is the answer. Maybe it's true that they don't have that option, but they signed multiple running backs in the portal. And one of them, Diggs, the LSU transfer, was not supposed to be able to play to this point. Knee injury at the end of last season. So that's out. But is Rashad Amos not available to play? Is he really such a poor evaluation for this staff that they can't even get him on the field for a short yardage situation? Ulysses Bentley, when Henry Parrish gets banged up, I understand and I've argued for, hey, like if Parrish has clearly earned the RB1 title and he's playing like it, but when he gets hurt, Bentley really cannot give you a carry, especially when, with all due respect to Paris's backup, there's a clear difference between him and his backup. And there's a clear difference between the Bentley that you saw a year ago and the current second running back for Ole Miss right now. Lane Kiffin will talk here in the postgame in a little bit. So we'll find out, you know, if anybody's asks him about that, we'll find out. But that is a glaring, glaring issue for Ole Miss. Parrish was running well, but when he got banged up, there's really no other option. Like that's your best option. That is a problem for sure. And lack of execution was a big issue for Ole Miss today, especially on short yardage things. But look, people, and this is the last thing, and then we'll get to your comments, but this is coming up again. And I've said this every year for 4 years now. When Ole Miss struggles offensively, everybody goes straight to, well, Charlie Weiss Jr. sucks. And it's like absolving Lane Kiffin from blame when he has a headset and he's got a play sheet and every call goes through him. And you see him on the sidelines making calls, or he's talking to somebody. So if he's not involved in calling the offense, what's he doing with a play sheet and what's he doing with a headset and talking into that headset? So just saying that Charlie Weiss Jr., you know, he called a bad game, you can't do that. It's got to be both. They are both involved in the offense when it's successful. And so when Ole Miss has good days offensively, well, Kiffin's a genius. When they have bad days offensively, it's Charlie Weiss Jr. sucks. Now, quite frankly, they're both involved in it to whatever degree, and they both, when Kiffin gets praise and credit for great offense, he deserves every negative feeling about it performing poorly as well. It was a poorly coached game for Ole Miss. Kentucky was better prepared. They had a very clear intention, and Ole Miss could not get them out of it. Ole Miss would force Kentucky into third and longs, and in the secondary defense was not able to get off the field, whether it be because of penalties or otherwise. So it's a brutal loss for Ole Miss. That one's going to sting for a while, an offseason of incredible hype, a roster that is incredibly expensive, and that is what happens to them the first time that they play an SEC game. It is an exposure is what that is, and will they be able to bounce back and recover, or is this going to be who they are all season long? We will find out. I will get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Go ahead and check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. absms.com, again, the website, tell them I sent you, and you'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you. On me, Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. Podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. They got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely going to be one in your backyard. Just check them out, Priority One Bank, because they make you their priority. All right, let's get to your comments now. Appreciate you guys being here on this Saturday. Somebody just says, LOL. Wait, hold on. So I can't click on the chat and have it display. Okay, that I just learned something new. So usually when we do it on my channel, I can do that. I don't know why I can't do that here. So I'll just have to read them. I'll read your name and then your comments, and we'll just do it that way instead of having them pop up on the screen for you. So somebody says, James says, not sure where we go from here. Another one, it's over. A second LOL, EB says, why do they have no short passing concepts in the playbook for third and short? Everything is a deep pass. So I don't know. I mean, they've done that a lot in the past and just did not do it as much today, especially in the first half. I thought that it was a little bizarre that they were asking Dart to really hold on to the ball for a long time when they didn't need to convert like a 30-yard pass on a third and medium or third and kind of short. And they were really trying to stress Kentucky vertically, but did not do a whole lot of underneath. And as a result, that they We're not able to move the football consistently. Yeah, I thought that was a big problem for them today. You wish I was advertising for lawyers, especially all the way back in 05. Well, all the way back in 2005, I was 13 in 2005, so I could not have helped you then, but I hope it doesn't happen again. No, run game, terrible. Secondary penalties are not from being aggressive. They are dumb play. It was all dumb today. Let me see if I can think of a penalty off the top of my head. That there was that holding before Kentucky scored right for the half. The holding on Amos was probably a little ticky-tack, but the pass interference was totally, completely, like, it was PI. Like, 100% it was PI. So, Can I remind everyone how much Ole Miss spent in NIL this year? I don't know the exact number, but I know it is a lot. A whole heck of a lot. Transfers are about to check out if they don't win all their games going into Georgia. I guess it's something to keep an eye on. We'll see. So much money spent on Kiffin and NIL to lose to Kentucky. Another one, lack of run game, secondary, and Dart looking for Harris solely on every dropback is going to be a problem. Oh, man, I loved it. The first normal team shows up and best the brakes out of that Ole Miss line. Guys, there are no playoffs for Ole Miss. It's over. See, I don't necessarily think the line play for Ole Miss was that bad. I think that the play calling itself was bad. Now, it wasn't great, don't get me wrong, but there were a lot of times today where Dart had time and whether it made a bad choice or held onto the ball too long or they were trying to get too much. It felt like everything was just too vertical, was too long for Ole Miss today. And it didn't utilize a lot of quick stuff like I thought they would. I keep clicking the comments. I'm sorry. I'm hoping to put them up on the screen, but I can't do that. Did they forget to throw it to the tight end? Just once today, and it was a prayer. South Carolina's defense is going to eat Jackson Dart alive. Yeah. So I think Kentucky's line is better overall than South Carolina's, but I think South Carolina's got a much better elite pass rusher. That's going to be big, big, big issues for Ole Miss next weekend. How do I think about the Ole Miss players faking injuries? I think it's garbage. It's absolute garbage. It's a terrible watch. It's embarrassing, frankly. Now, Princely, a couple of them actually were hurt. I think Princely actually is a little banged up. So I think Sean McDonough kind of chose a bad spot to continue to go in on that when they literally sent Princely to the locker room after that. But yes, when there is obvious fake injuries that they're doing, and it's Bush League. I know people defend it. Well, it's the rules. And well, Kiffin tried to say that it's bad and he was going to, you know, whatever. I don't care. It's embarrassing. It's a bad look. You should not want to win that way. Kentucky doesn't even run hurry up offense. I can't stand watching it. I think it's embarrassing. I really do. LSU is going to be a problem. But the South Carolina pass rush from hell, yes. South Carolina or LSU is going to be a problem with the way Ole Miss secondary has played. Do you think Kiffin addresses fan attendance in the presser? Just kidding. But, you know, that's why you don't I'll keep it PG. That's why you don't complain about your fans. Dart looked lackadaisical. I don't know if lackadaisical was the right word. I think he had a bad day early and Kentucky was just able to keep the Ole Miss offense off the field for so long. Kentucky isn't a bad football team. Any SEC team can beat anybody on the right day. They can. But when you're at home and you're a heavy favorite and you spend all offseason doing this last dance thing, I mean, today was not a talent thing. Ole Miss is a more talented football team than Kentucky. Today was not a talent thing. They got out-coached today. This is all a coaching issue. Ole Miss is a much better team than they played. If the entire secondary isn't running stadium steps on Monday, Golding should be at the least suspended next week. Well, you don't really suspend coordinators, but Ole Miss is going to have a harder schedule than it appeared at first. Frankly, I don't think it's really any harder than it appeared. I think that Ole Miss is worse than expected to this point. Feel like they just decided to go away from the run, especially in the first half. There were some opportunities there that they missed in the first half for sure, but yeah, it chose kind of not to run the football in the first half. Let me see if I can find this. In fact, you know what's crazy? Is they had more carries in the first half than pass attempts. However, some of that is Dart. So, most painful loss since 09 South Carolina? Absolutely. Going to spark conversations about Kiffin standing and the ranking of college coaches. You can't lose this game with this talent. I agree. There's going to be some things that are going to be talked about with Lane Kiffin this week. There are. Can't handle the moment. Is a good offensive mind. All that stuff. But can't elevate a program to the next level. That will be talked about this week. That absolutely will. People have affirmed their narratives about Lane Kiffin. They will have done that for sure. This is what happens when you load up on transfer kids. This is not about transfers. It's not about that at all. This is not about loading up on transfers. What happened to the play calling that worked against Penn State? That was easily the best game you've seen them play during the Kiffin tenure. I'm just surprised that just the total lack of usage of tight ends. One target for tight ends today. One target. That doesn't make sense. You understand that Kiffin has final say on the offense, but you think there was a noticeable difference between Lebby being on staff and Charlie Weiss. Not all Charlie's fault, but man, today was bad. But see, to me, ultimately, that lands on Kiffin, though. You're the offensive coach. If your offense struggles, it's on you. It is absolutely on you. Lane spending so much energy flirting with the Florida Gators, he forgot about coaching the team. That's not happening, and that's not why they lost today. Yeah, I mean, he's not flirting with Florida in September. That's not how that works. Regardless of what happens at the end of the season, they didn't lose today because of Florida. They lost today because they got out-coached and outplayed today. That's why. What percentage of the play calling was for Jackson Dart's Heisman numbers? I don't know if today, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. It's just today is not the day you do that at all. But maybe they tried, and maybe I'm wrong about that. Absolutely embarrassing. They played an embarrassing brand of football today. Absolutely they did. Can they recover? We will have to see, but we will not be talking about playoffs in the foreseeable future. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it on the radio show. I'm not going to do it on the podcast with you guys. Not until if they win every game when Georgia's coming to town, then we can spark that conversation back up. Until then, not doing it. You feel sorry for the defense? I feel sorry for the front six because they played well. The secondary needs to wear a lot of this. They gave up 250 yards to Kentucky. Let's see. What's the exact number? 243 to Kentucky through the air. It's not going to get it done. Do I think Ole Miss was kind of looking past Kentucky? No, I don't think that that's the case either. I mean, and if that is the case, then that's also an indictment on coaching because this is your first real game of the season. So, Bentley, where is he? I don't know. I talked about it earlier, so you might be just arriving a little late, but I think at this point, that there, you cannot convince me that he is a worse option than what they went with today when Parrish got hurt. So, you know, you love Mark Stoops and hope he wins the rest of his games, but if, oh, I see what you're doing. I'll read the whole thing for the podcast audience. You know I love Mark Stoops and hope he wins the rest of his games, but if we play them 11 times, we would beat them 13 or 14 times. Oh, man. And here's the thing. So I laughed at Kiffin's trolling of Freeze because it was funny, but if you're going to troll and do all that stuff, you better win on Saturday, because if you don't, you know what it makes you look? It makes you look unserious. And as a coach, you're judged on wins and losses, right? So there's no room for it didn't affect the outcome of the game he played Saturday, but if you're going to do that all week, then you better win on Saturday. Now it looks bad because you lose. Is that totally fair? Maybe not, but it looks bad. It does. Kentucky will go 8-4. Agree? Certainly a chance that they can. If they play like they did today, they can. But anyway. All right, guys. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice. Although we did go to the park this morning, so he's feeling a little bit better. But I've got a toddler who's got some throat issues. And he's been coughing and sneezing and all that. And guess who now is coughing and sneezing? This guy. So that's fun. I'll get to spend the rest of my weekend coughing and sneezing. And I mean, he lost his voice completely. You can't even understand him. Mine's going too. So I'm going to go put on Toy Story and hopefully I give him obviously cough medicine like everybody does, but we call it good stuff. Because for some reason, like if I call it cough medicine, he's like, nope, I don't want it. But hey, buddy, this is good stuff. Okay, down the hatch. Like no problem at all. Cracks me up. Sometimes psychological warfare when you've got toddlers. But I'll get him some good stuff and get myself some good stuff. And hopefully nothing disrupts the live stream on Sunday. So I appreciate you guys. Michael's secret stuff. Exactly. Yeah. It's so funny. It's the same thing. Like, and he's a smart kid, but he sees me get it out of the same bottle. And if I say cough medicine, no. But I could pour the same thing out of the same bottle into the same cup and say good stuff. And he drinks it. Ah, kids, man. That's just how they are. I don't. Trying to understand what's going on in their head is just a waste of time. You just got to do what you got to do. Somebody says always next year, Ole Miss. Yeah, maybe so. But this team loses a lot. So anyway, I appreciate you guys being here. We'll be back live tomorrow night over on my channel. So we'll be live back live tomorrow night with the regular podcast. If you guys, you know, if you liked this and you did not know that Super Talk offers an Ole Miss exclusive podcast, then check it out, Rebel Report, wherever you get them. And I would appreciate you being a part and subscribing and doing all that. So enjoy the rest of your weekend, guys. I will see you on Sunday night. Y'all have a good one.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.